Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. At the hospital bed, there lay a man who seemed to be a shell of himself. Over the beeping of the monitors and the sound of the respirator could be heard the muted cries of his family. It wouldn't be long before the medical staff would come in and silence those beeps and the sound of the machine that was breathing for him. When that happened, the cries of the family became more pronounced. At the funeral, the family welcomed those who came to pay their respects through many tears. Condolences were shared, hugs and handshakes were given. Some well-meaning guests said that he looked good in his blue suit, but of course that offered little comfort to the family. As the mourners visited with the family, they were able to look back on the man's life told in pictures. Over there was a black and white photo of him with his parents at his baptism. And over there was another of him as a young man in high school with his thick, dark hair parted just the way that he wore it for years to come. Here was a picture with his army buddies dressed in their fatigues, smiles on their faces as they had some downtime between dangerous missions. And here was another picture with his wife and his two young children. The kids were hanging off of his arms like a jungle gym while mom looked on with a big smile on her face. Now, there were other pictures, of course, but as they went on, you could see that the years wore on the man. His hair was grayer and thinner, his face weathered, and the cares of life were displayed in his flesh. The family of the man looked back at those pictures with mixed emotions. They recalled with pride how strong Dad was, how full of life and vigor he was, and then they mourned all the more that that had come to an end. They looked back at his life told by the pictures, and they marveled at those years gone by, those glory days, those days that showcased the physical prime of his life. And then they were struck by the sharp contrast. Now he was quiet and still, and he would soon be laid to rest, committed to the Lord's care, and awaiting the resurrection on the last day. But that, at least, offered a picture of hope. The family was ushered into the sanctuary and the service began. And in the service, the family was reminded that as good as the days of old were, they were not glory days. At least not in the full sense or the Christian sense of those words. Even in the physical prime of life and in the strength of youth, sin still had its effect. And not just on this man, but on all who have walked the earth. Every cold, every stiff joint, every ache and pain, every sorrow, great or small, all have their root in sin. And though youth may bounce back, hearts may mend, and bodies for a time heal, still sin remains, and sin will always bring death. Sin will bring death not only to the body, but to the soul as well. But see, this is harder to see. Many in their youth fall prey to believing that they're invincible. They see that their bodies heal up, that they're strong and full of vigor, and they give little thought to the soul and sin's effect on it. In this way, many are blinded from even considering that if the body dies in sin, the soul will be lost forever. Now this man, he trusted in Christ Jesus, the one who has done something about sin and its effect on body and soul. This man trusted in Jesus, the eternal Son of God, who laid the glory of heaven aside that he might come to earth to seek and to save sinners. The family was reminded of this fact once again. They were reminded about the first advent of Jesus, and how inglorious it really was. His birth was surrounded in scandal, an unwed pregnancy, a considered divorce. His first bed was where the animals ate. He and his family had to flee from their home and live as exiles due to a murderous king. He worked as a humble tradesman, a carpenter. He was left without an earthly father. He was rejected by those he came to serve, misunderstood by the people of his own ethnicity. He was accused of being a drunkard, a glutton, a friend of sinners, tax collectors, and prostitutes. He was seen as an insurrectionist and a blasphemer. He was arrested, and he was put on trial. All this by the age of 30-something, all at the physical prime of his life, all in his glory days. Well, sort of. The glory days of Jesus were not the glory days that the family had originally been thinking about, at least as they were looking at those pictures. The family had in mind life, joy, a family together, but the pastor was talking about Jesus. He was painting a different picture. He was talking about the suffering, the humiliation, the separation that Jesus willingly and even joyfully endured so that he could save all from their sin. Well, this was a different type of glory, a different definition of the same word. And yet this is Jesus. Jesus who turns the things of this world on its head. Here is Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the creator of all authorities and principalities, the one who was with the Father and the Spirit, who spoke all things into creation, standing trial under the authority of one of his creatures, a Roman, a Gentile governor, a servant and representative of Caesar, so-called emperor of the world, questioned the one who made the world. Are you a king? What kind of king are you? Caesar would never be on trial like this. No, this king was different. Jesus is different. He is not of the world, not from the world, but king over all the kings of the world. And yet this king doesn't come in power and in might to slay and to subject. He comes to seek and to save the lost. He comes to suffer as a sinner, though without his own sin, that he would be the sacrifice by whose blood sinners would be redeemed. This king would seek glory not by how many he may put under his feet, but by how many his pierced hands and feet would save as he was hoisted high on a cross. Crowned with thorns, mocked and ridiculed with a charge scrawled on a crude sign, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. This was his glory. Because in this humility and weakness, Jesus would save his creation. The family of the man recalled how their father and their husband had died. It was also in humility. It was in weakness. And while it wasn't on a cross, it was in those ways like Jesus' death. Then the family was reminded of other similarities, even more of other unions that their loved one shared with the crucified king. Jesus, too, was committed to the Father's care. Jesus, too, was buried in the ground. They were reminded of Mary's grief. They were reminded of the tears of the others. They were reminded of the fears and the uncertainty of the disciples. Yes, this was a picture that they were all too familiar with. But then they were reminded that Jesus did not remain dead in the ground. Of course, the pastor reminded the family of the man's baptism into Christ's death and his resurrection. He reminded the mourners that there is hope because Jesus is alive. And though their loved one is apart from them, yet he lives with Jesus. This is a present reality, even in the midst of tears that were streaming down their faces. And then he shared with them a picture of future glory. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This picture of future glory is much different than the glory of the past. The future glory does away with the cross, the shame, the humiliation, the weakness. This glory is full of life, of strength, of joy. This is a vision of work complete, the creation saved from sin and from its effects. This is a glory that shows the king with his true enemies of sin, death, and Satan under his pierced feet. And this is a vision of glory that includes the glory of all who have trusted in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, all those who have been baptized and trusted in Jesus' work of salvation, all those who have been united to the King in faith, all those who have suffered weakness, shame, humiliation, and all the effects of sin. These ones will rise and reflect the glory of Christ, their King, forever. As the service concluded and the family made their way from the sanctuary to the graveside, they held this vision of future glory close to their heart. They were mourning, but now with hope renewed. They were grieving, but in Christ, even now, the comfort had begun. As the family gathered at the cemetery to commit their loved one to the grave, they heard again words of future glory from 1 Corinthians 15. These words reminded them again of the length Christ Jesus, the servant king, went to for all. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, but what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. For if there's a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. But it's not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, a man of dust. The second man, Jesus, is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. And what an image of glory it shall be. From the first advent of the king to his final glorious advent, the church waits in hope. Hope to be renewed often at the hearing of his word and the reception of his gifts. Hope to be shared with the hopeless. Even in the midst of sorrow and sadness in the face of sin, hope prevails, for Christ the King lives and reigns forever. And because he lives and reigns forever, so too shall his church. May this picture of Christ the King ever fill your lives with hope until that great and glorious day. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until that great and glorious day. Amen.